Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. We design, craft and install beautiful kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Now, though, there are fresh fears for the Irish economy as the US President Donald Trump has threatened a 200% tariff on pharmaceuticals. The President said he's going to give drug makers a year to, as he put it, get their act together. Now, he's frequently name-checked Ireland as a country that has lured pharma production away from the United States. The Financial Times also reports this morning that EU negotiators are closing in on a deal on reciprocal tariffs with the US. Well, let's find out more about all of this now. I'm joined by columnist with the Irish Times, Cliff Taylor, and Simon McKeever, who's CEO of the Irish Exporters Association. And Cliff, this news about the threatened 200%, does that send a chill wind through the pharma sector, or do they believe it can't and won't happen?
Yeah, perhaps a bit of both, if that isn't a contradiction, Claire. I suppose there may be some relief in the sector that the indications may be that he's not going to move immediately on pharma tariffs. And the background to this is that he's has received or is about to receive a big report on the sector and its operations, which is to inform his future policy. And we're told he will have that by the end of this month and will tell us more about his plans. So what I suppose we perhaps, you know, we're used to Trump pulling figures out of the air and making these threats, and perhaps we shouldn't take the detail of it too literally. I think nonetheless the direction of travel is a worrying one for Ireland, because it again underlines this point that he is going to put pressure on the pharma sector to relocate production to the US in the years ahead. Now, people in the sector will tell you that that can't be done in a year or a year and a half. And they're also saying and have said overnight that tariffs this level will inevitably push up prices and reduce investment in research and development and so on in the US. So there is a long way for this to play out yet. But nonetheless, I think the key message for Ireland is that this is still in his sights. And I think what is said on this issue is one of the things we need to watch out for in this deal, which seems to be emerging between the EU and the US, kind of an agreement in principle, if you like.
Yeah. You'd wonder what impact it's going to have on investment in the United States. I was listening to a speech given by the boss of a company called Sandoz. They're a generic drugs maker, yeah. And they were announcing this or unveiling this huge new investment in Slovenia. And he was saying, look, the tariff threat's not going to change how we operate. The bulk of our market in that particular example, he said generics don't tend to do well in the United States. And so we will keep doing what we've always done, which is invest in other parts of the world.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there is, you know, pharma is a huge business with complex supply chains, and a lot of the generics for the US market are made in countries like India and the Far East. So there's a lot of complexity there. And we also have to remember that the Irish pharma sector, while around 40% of its exports go to the US, and it is a key market in terms of the prices that the pharma companies charge their US arms and the corporation tax that leads to from Ireland. So the sector here obviously also sells a huge amount of its product around the world to European markets, to the Middle East and beyond. So it's not all about the US, and you're right, the sector will go on. And I think, you know, it's big companies will have a say here in what happens next as well.
Mm-hmm. Cliff, stay with us, because I said Simon is with us as well. Simon McKeever from the Irish Exporters Association. Simon, what's the general sense amongst your members when it comes to tariffs now? I mean, do they think that this is Trump, the taco Trump, that Trump always chickens out? Or are they concerned, or a bit of both, as Cliff says?
I think they're a bit bushwhacked, really, by it all at this stage. If I look back at the start of the year, I think there was a pretty gung-ho mentality coming off the back of last year amongst our members. But I would say, talking to them recently, levels of optimism have fallen, and also levels of investment have been put on hold. So I think there's a huge degree of uncertainty in terms of what way this is going to play out. Yesterday's manoeuvres by the president doesn't really help. You know, I think he watches the stock market a lot and the bond market. Didn't obviously like the lack of reaction to his earlier statement, and then come out with more threats on it. So I think where we are at the moment is that a lot of companies, both in the pharmaceutical sector, but also Irish businesses, have placed a lot of product into the States at this stage ahead of the 9th of July deadline and are now on hold. So there's no rush to send product off the island at the moment into the States until they see what happens. Mm-hmm. And then this kind of few weeks deadline extension to the 1st of August, that just leaves it more uncertain. Kind of people will hang on and wait to see what happens.
Because the danger is, isn't it, Simon, that you have your shipment halfway across and the announcement is made and then you're left having to stump up potentially hundreds of thousands to get that into the market.
Potentially, and nobody wants to take that risk, just given the very erratic nature of what's coming out of the White House. I think just one point to add to what Cliff was saying as well, there is this sense that Ireland, with its pharmaceutical industry, is in isolation within the EU, that it's such a huge, big, important sector to us and us alone. It's a massive sector in Germany, just to take one country in Europe and in Belgium. But in Germany, it's a massive, massive sector. You know, if you look at the exports of cars, there's this sense, is the EU going to trade cars off against pharmaceuticals? I don't really believe so, because in Germany, the exports of pharma to the States, 120 billion last year versus 135 billion for cars. So it's a hugely important sector for Germany. So we're not alone in terms of that. And then the other piece, just to pick up in terms of, you know, trade negotiations, there's two separate types of tariffs. So you've got your reciprocal tariffs, which is that 10%, which has been put on everything. And then you've got the Section 232 tariffs, where there is this investigation has been going on into pharmaceuticals and other sector. And there's literally been a company by company analysis done on how soon that company can transfer its operations from Europe into the United States. And you talk to the pharmaceutical companies here and around Europe, it's somewhere between a 5 and a 6.5 year journey to get to shift that production into the United States. There isn't the capacity in the States to make the drugs. There isn't the employees. There's a shortage of half a million skilled workers in the States, and there isn't the contract manufacturing. So there just isn't the capacity in it at the moment. You know, where this may end up is somewhere in and around tax, where you see transfer pricing being lowered in Ireland, and then that would affect corporation tax. That's maybe where this ends up. There is other movements going on within the tax system in the States as well.
Okay. Do you agree with that assessment, Liv?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, anyone I talk to in the pharma sector says the same, that moving production is hugely complicated for logistic and also regulatory reasons, that no matter what Donald Trump does to try and speed that up, it is going to take, 5 or 6 years to relocate. And as Simon said, there isn't the capacity there in the States. There's a shortage of skilled employees. So to some extent, this is a bit of a pipe dream. While of course it's possible to relocate some production to the US, it's going to be a slow process. Mm-hmm. And also, Simon says, one of the ways that the pharma companies may deal with that is to change their pricing practices, so that the value of what they sell from their Irish operation to their US operation is lower and less profit is declared in Ireland, which is a tax hit for Ireland and a tax gain for the US. So that is one of the possible ways this will go. I think in relation to these Section 232 tariffs, the special tariffs, this is one of the things to watch out for in the deal which may emerge between the EU and the US over the next few days. In the deal with the UK, the US promised preferential treatment to the UK in relation to these special tariffs, which cover pharma, semiconductors, cars, steel and aluminium mainly. It would be interesting to see if there's any similar language in relation to the EU. The suggestion is there may not be, but we just have to wait and see. So that is one of the key things of interest to Ireland in that deal. The other key thing, obviously, is the wider so-called reciprocal tariffs, the ones that apply to most products, and what the deal says about those. It does look for sure that the 10% tariff is going to remain in place, kind of more or less across the board. There are some kind of worrying signs that Trump is also pushing for somewhat higher tariffs on food, agribusiness products, which would be bad for Ireland. Better news that spirits and aviation may be carved out, and may remain tariff-free. So it's kind of coming and going that you typically see late in the day before a deal is done. Mm-hmm. So it we'll just have to watch that. And also watch whether they do a deal and kind of stave off for now or avoid for now the risk of kind of wider tensions, more tariffs and kind of a trade war.
Well, listen, we have the precedent there, don't we? What he did with Japan, the 25%. They're furious about that, aren't they?
But we
don't know yet how that's going to play out because they have substantial leverage. I was reading Faisal Islam from the BBC this morning that they are the biggest holders of American debt. So that's a further complication for Donald Trump.
You know who the second biggest holder is?
Go on.
Britain.
Right.
It used to be China. It's now Britain. Mm-hmm. So China has been slowly selling off its US debt over the last while.
So what can Japan do then with that? The fact that they're the largest holders of debt. What can they do to Donald Trump?
Well, it all boils down to the US's position as the reserve currency of the world. If the bond market gets sold off, then there's less confidence in the dollar, which leads to an inevitable kind of decline. And that's what people have been talking about in terms of how do you really combat something like this. But nobody wants to go down that road. And the other thing, Claire, is the EU is due to come out with its decision on the very original set of tariffs that it put in place, the 21 billion in retaliatory tariffs. That's due to come out on the 14th of July. They were suspended on the length. So we're waiting to see what happens in relation to that. And that was just the tariffs that were put in place during the first Trump presidency that were put on hold as a response measure now. And then there's a further set of tariffs of up to 95 billion, which the EU is considering as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I suppose it's always the EU has been very pragmatic in all of this, very measured in all of this, hasn't rushed to do anything in all of this. But it is still the second biggest consumer market in the world after the United States. So it has other options, but clearly the EU wants to do a deal. And as Cliff was saying, there is absolutely no doubt in my mind that the minimum tariff is going to be 10% unless there's some carve-outs. They've made it very clear that they're no longer a low-tariff economy, that they're going to raise revenue through tariffs.
All right, an interesting summer ahead. Simon Keever and Cliff Taylor, thank you both for being with us. Now, coming up, a ewe poisoning warning for livestock. And also, we'll hear about representation in the PSNI from the Protestant and Catholic communities.
Get in touch on WhatsApp 0870 32 32 32.